In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit,
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, you might be able to hear in my voice that I am, I have fallen to whatever it is. I see Gloria there. I see a number of you who have been suffering from some malady, and I will do my absolute best to protect all of you. I'm going to sort of celebrate at a slight distance and recruit others to distribute communion. But here I am, and speaking through a bit of a haze of cold medicine. So just raise your hand if I stop making sense. I'd like to talk a little bit about 1 Corinthians and this, I mean, an issue that has relatively little to do with us, but on the surface, eating meat sacrificed to idols. But I think there are probably some lessons in that for us as well. And then the issue of authority, when Jesus, when they say Jesus came among them and spoke with authority, what was that, and in what ways is he asking us to be also people of authority? So in 1 Corinthians, the issue was, Paul was saying, you know, there is still a lively system in place where sort of vestiges of Greek and Roman religion, food sacrificed in temples. And Paul said, listen, I know that this is really not a big deal. I know that there is nothing behind the idols, and so it really means nothing if you eat the food or if you don't eat the food. But some people are still worried about that. Some people still think that's a big deal. And if you, in your understanding and in your liberty, eat at a pagan temple, you're going to confuse those whose understanding isn't as great as yours. And so what Paul is really saying, for the sake of those whose understanding is less, I am going to limit myself. Which is in many ways, it's a principle of some fairly significant importance. I think of Jesus on his feet, washing his disciples, on his knees, washing his disciples' feet, reminding us that it is always the place of spiritual wisdom not to be served, but to help those who are not yet so wise, who are still bound by fear, who are still living in a world and they don't quite know the depth of their own freedom. The greater serves the lesser. As Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve. And I think Paul is discovering one of the elements of this. And it's also just what I think is always a helpful reminder: we're in different places. We're all on a path through our lives, and we understand things differently. Not all of us understand things the same way. And so that we're always having, in some way, to negotiate how we talk to each other about the things that are most important to us. How we talk to each other about what we think is permitted or forbidden. The rules that govern our lives. And you know, Jesus was he was an interesting person with respect to rules. He treated some of the rules as he seemed to be casual. I don't think he was casual at all about really much of anything. But for instance, he would pick corn on the Sabbath, and then religious authorities would challenge him, and he would say, as you've doubtless heard me say many times and around baptism especially, human beings aren't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is made for us. It's not a binding rule that we have to obey and God's going to get angry at us. The value of the Sabbath regulation is the Sabbath. You know, it's the spiritual discipline of learning to let the world be. It's not the rule that you have to obey. It's the substance of the rule. Get the rule itself. Get the spiritual truth that's in the rule. And then the rule kind of goes away. I'll digress yet. Dangerous on cold medicine, I know. But there's in the Jerusalem Bible, in a footnote, there is one around the stories of Jesus picking corn on the Sabbath. Apparently, Jesus and his disciples came across another man who was picking corn on the Sabbath. And Jesus said to him, "If you know what you are doing, you are blessed. If you don't know what you are doing, you are cursed as a breaker of the law." Which is to say, if you understand that you are putting your real freedom into place, and now the rule that used to govern the Sabbath has become relatively less important, then you have stepped into real spiritual freedom. But if you think you're getting away with something because nobody's looking, and the rule is still in effect in your life, then you're just being naughty. You haven't stepped into any freedom at all. It's an interesting exercise to look at one's own life and see what rules governs one's life. Authority. I've been here long enough. I feel like I've told almost all my stories. When I was before I went to seminary, I worked for a year as a deckhand on ocean-going tugboats, sailing from Seattle to the North Slope oil fields that were just getting built out at that time. And on the first trip we made coming back, and I'd been out for 3 months. 3 months is a normal length of a voyage. And we were in the northern rim of the Gulf of Alaska, just off Yakutat, in a significant storm. We were probably in 30-foot seas. And a barge broke loose. And this captain, who had kind of worked himself into a pretty serious hole employment-wise, he was taking the boat back to Seattle to get fired, wanted to do one last heroic thing and save the barge that had broken loose. The officer of the deck, the first mate, had the standing. He was the power. And in the merchant marine, the hierarchy is just like in the military. I mean, there are officers, and you obey what they say. And the first mate told us to do this. And the lowly, able-bodied seaman, Nils, seaman from Norway, who'd been on the water all his life, said, "That's going to get us killed. We're going to do it this way." And all the guys on deck looked at the first mate, and then looked at the AB, and we did what the AB said, because he had authority. The other guy had standing. He was the power on deck. But the other guy knew what he was talking about. And we were in 30-foot seas, and if we did things carelessly or we'd get killed. And so it came, and technically this was a mutiny. But our lives were on the line, and we were not going to obey someone's paper power and ignore the person who really knew what he was doing. And I think this is what people saw in Jesus. He had learned from his own experience. And I think what the secret of Jesus' authority is something that he also encourages in us. The question that I keep coming back to, that I say, it's the most radical thing that Jesus ever said. Why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? Why do you not stand in the middle of your own experience and pay attention to what your heart tells you, and pay attention to what your intuition tells you, and pay attention to what your feelings tell you, and then why do you not decide for yourselves what is right? I ask that, one of the possible answers to that question, why do I not decide for myself what is right? Well, I'll tell you why. Because at some level we know that we are in the middle of an incredible mystery and we have no real idea what we're doing here as human beings. And we know that we are alive in this vast universe and that we don't last very long at all. And I know how little I know about the future and about really everything. And I am going to make decisions upon which the outcome of my life depends. Me? Oh, I would rather give it away to somebody else. Let them bear the burden of that. But Jesus says, why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? Which is to say, begin to cultivate authority in yourself. Doesn't mean that everybody's opinion is as good as everyone else. It doesn't mean that you just get to say whatever you want. No, I mean, becoming authoritative is a long process. I don't know so many of the ranch kids here in Livingston. I know more at St. John's, way more in Big Timber. And I watch these kids every day after school go to learn about how to see a cow. How to see a cow and what differentiates a good, solidly bred cow from one who is deficient in ways. And it's very specialized knowledge. I mean, I look at a cow. You know, I mean, unless it's missing a leg or something, I mean, my level of discernment, low. But they are watching, they are learning to see the way a radiologist learns to get information from an x-ray. And which is to say they are learning to come into their own authority so that when they look at a cow, they don't have to ask somebody, is that a well-bred cow or not? Because they know. And I want us to be authoritative in that sense. Authoritative about what we're doing here. And it does not mean mastering a bunch of arcane doctrines. To be authoritative as a Christian does not mean being able to explain the doctrine of the Trinity or the doctrine of, you know, the idea of the Eucharist. Or it doesn't mean that. But it does mean being able to talk to someone about why you think it is better to be moved in your life by love rather than by fear. It matters whether you think the universe is a place in which human life has some meaning, even if we can't really tell what it is. Is it a meaningful place to live, or is it just a vast, absurd accident? Nobody can tell you that difference. Nobody can prove it one way or another. But it makes a huge difference if you live in an absurd accident, or if you live in a world in which purposes are being worked out, even if you can't quite understand them. And if somebody asks you, I want us to be able to speak to those things. Again, they're not answers that somebody else gave that you're trying to remember. They come out of your own authority. And we cultivate authority by being careful, by listening to others, by being in real conversation, by paying as close attention as we can to where our decisions come from and the basis on which we make our decisions. And in the end, we come back to that great and challenging question of Jesus. Why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? And know that that is in that question is the promise of our liberation. It is the promise of each one of us coming into our full humanity, where we are actually living this one mysterious life that we have been given. We're paying attention to our experience and we're reflecting on it. And then in the great risky leap of faith that we make over and over and over again, day by day, we decide how we're going to live based upon what our heart, and it's not our isolated heart, because our hearts are never separate from God. But we listen to what our heart says, and then moment by moment we make our decisions. Faithful life. Let's encourage that in one another. Let's help each of us deepen in our true authority. That doesn't mean I know everything, but it means I can tell you sort of how I got to where I am and why I'm going to say yes to this and no to that. Why do we not judge for ourselves what is right? Amen. Amen.